From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. This is the Hervoy Moritz Show on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
We've made it to the second hour. Get some TNT Radio merch, reminder if you haven't. And I was waiting for this moment, I guess. This is absolutely fascinating. Uncharted territory. Bolsonaro's party in Brazil is questioning the result of Brazil's runoff election, seeking to annul votes that gave leftist leader Lula da Silva a tight victory. So it's about to get interesting in Brazil. Maybe Bolsonaro feels, I've talked about this in the past with my weekly guest, Jose Nino, that it seemed, to do something like this, you're going out on a limb, on the ledge, you know, and you can't really do something like this unless you feel you've got enough backing by the people, by politicians, perhaps even the military. And I mean, if I were Bolsonaro and no one's backing me, I'm not going to go and declare that, you know, that this was a stolen election because no one's got my back and I'm just going to be painted as a maniac and just, you know, brushed off the stage. But if those videos that we're seeing that are circulating are true of just masses upon masses of people in Brazil, and if there's enough people in the military elsewhere in the political apparatus backing Bolsonaro, then we've got a different story. And then you can sort of, you know, lay down the gauntlet. And so that's absolutely fascinating. We also have, there's an interesting piece from the Spanish newspaper La Vanguardia, which I was able to read the first time. I can now. You know, it's the silly thing with the paywall. Okay, the paywall just went up. Darn it. I'm going to have to read it from this other site. But basically, the UN and different think tanks have come out and they're promoting 60 million migrants from Africa and beyond to be imported into the EU by 2050. So if I'm not mistaken, recently, it basically says that this week the European Parliament voted in favor of a resolution labeling the Great Replacement Theory as racist. Meanwhile, the UN and the Wittgenstein Center in Austria and the Center for Global Development in Washington, D.C. are all advocating that Europe needs 60 million migrants to survive, and most of this immigration should come from Africa, and so that both the UK and EU should bring down their immigration barriers. So again, it's that Orwellian doublespeak, 2 + 2 = 5. It's that if you call out New World Order, you're a conspiracy theorist, but we can do it. I experienced this firsthand in 2009 in Geneva. I was railing against the New World Order, and I got into trouble with professors and even the administration, where they're like, and I kid you not, in one of our last speeches with folks from the administration, it was like one of the farewell lectures for the graduating class. They're like, some of you are speaking against the New World Order, you know, world government. That's, you know, conspiracy theory. Stop doing that. But, you know, world government is coming and it's good. Like, I'm not kidding you. I remember that experience. So it's like, if you criticize it, you're crazy. But if you say, you know, you love it and it's a good thing, well, then cool, you're on board. And so here they are, the same thing with the replacement theory. They're all, and Peter Sutherland, I don't know if he's still alive. He was a high-level political operative. He attended Bilderberg. You can go back decades to the BBC. It's a BBC article where Peter Sutherland of the Bilderberg is saying, he openly said that, yes, we need to bring, we need to mix, make things more more multicultural in the EU, because that's what supranationalism is. That's what globalism is. That's what Babylon is. You have to get rid of local national identities, you know, whether it's religion or cultural identity, family, and to have a world government, you have to have a world culture. So that's what they're trying to do away with. Looks like U.S. has endorsed the Turkish operation in Syria. More war. So, you know, war is the name of the game, as Ruckus and I were talking about. First hour, Turkey says it's got the right to defend itself, says the White House. And they got this Operation Claw Sword. And yeah, so that's going on, more war. And it's interesting that we've seen the heaviest fighting in years breaking out in Congo as different rivals seek control of minerals. Clashes have erupted between the Congolese army and Rwanda-backed militias as fighting for control of Congo's vast mineral riches erupts again, all in the name of net zero and electronic vehicles. Thank you very much. We actually have a TNT ad that talks about child labor and in the Congo. And so this is from the Wall Street Journal just yesterday. You can check that out. And Israel has deployed remote-controlled robotic guns in the West Bank in two volatile spots. They've installed robotic weapons that can fire tear gas, stun grenades, and sponge-tipped bullets at Palestinian protesters. Skynet is becoming self-aware. Today, I just posted my interview with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute over on my Geopolitics Empire podcast. He talks about this, and basically, our future is 1984, Terminator 2. It's absolutely insane. And a reminder that if you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host you want to hear on TNT Radio, let us know, please. If you've got topics you want us to discuss, let us know. Just fill out the suggestion form at the top of TNTRadio.live. You can also message any of the TNT Radio presenters. There's a form on each of the presenters' page. Send us a message. My email is hervoyamorich@TNTRadio.live. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Agreeing on the fundamental.
We can't trust any politician.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It's a sad reality, but the truth is some people have a big problem with drugs. Obviously, some people's problems with drugs are bigger than others, but as we're about to learn, some of the biggest drug problems are not exactly what you would expect. Here to explain, as always, joining us once again is TNT Radio News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus.
Thanks, Hervory. I believe it was July 15th, 1997, when the world was treated to this incredibly cool song with an infectious chorus by a gentleman posthumously by the name of the Notorious B.I.G. And the infamous chorus went to the tune of, "It's like the more money we come across, the more problems we see." The song, of course, was "Mo Money, Mo Problems." And today I'm going to be talking a couple stories that involve mo drugs, mo problems. First one comes from Zero Hedge, and I apologize in advance. This is a terribly written article, but I'll do the best with what we've got. They are reporting how New York farmers have absolutely nowhere to sell $750 million worth of cannabis. The cannabis industry has flourished in New York as more than 200 farms last spring received growing permits from the state. Since then, harvest is only now finishing up with hundreds of thousands of pounds of flower, but nowhere to sell, according to Bloomberg. Wah, wah, wah. A report via the Office of Cannabis Management, OCM, now there's a three-letter agency I can get behind, which oversees cannabis licenses, reveals stockpiles are quickly building across the farms. Estimates show stockpiles have topped 300,000 pounds, worth a whopping $750 million. Bloomberg says, quote, "If farmers don't get their harvest into stores soon, that near billion-dollar revenue will eventually start to dwindle." But how can farmers get their crops to market when the state has yet to approve the opening of dispensaries? Modern hippies running growing operations must figure out how to store flower in an environment that's not just guarded by security 24/7, but also the right temperature and humidity-controlled environment so the crop doesn't deteriorate ahead of sale. Bloomberg, outlining the bottleneck of what's preventing marijuana from being sold, says applicants for one of the initial 150 individual retail licenses and 25 nonprofit licenses. Expect to hear back from the state any day, but a green light from the OCM is only beginning of the long process involved in opening a storefront. And OCM has some serious planning issues. Now, growers are nervous about their ability to store cannabis for an extended period before it deteriorates. The clock is ticking. If OCM doesn't approve dispensaries opening in time, farmers could be looking at a significant loss. So we've got that issue happening in New York, and quite the opposite yet similar kind of a thing happening in Belgium, where we slide on over to Breitbart, who reports the following. This is very interesting. Belgian authorities are reportedly sitting on top of a mountain of cocaine that they cannot dispose of as a result of record seizures at a major port in the country. While the European nation is relatively small in size, its Dutch-speaking city of Antwerp holds one of the most important ports on the entire continent, with huge trade from across the world, first making landfall in the Flemish city before moving on to other destinations. As a result of this importance, Antwerp has also turned into a hotspot for criminal gangs looking to move contraband into European markets, with local authorities keen to crack down on the illegitimate trade within the city. Well, according to a report by broadcaster Euronews, it appears that Belgian law enforcement may be doing their job almost too well, with the country seizing record seizures of cocaine in 2021. However, 2022 is likely to see that record surpassed, with government officials estimating that the EU state will have seized upwards of 100 tons, that's metric tons, T-O-N-N-E-S, of cocaine before the year is out. However, due to the success of these seizures, they are now struggling to dispose of the growing mountain of drugs, which are reportedly incinerated to be disposed of. So there we go. So while they're waiting to get rid of this at various secret locations, they've been storing this in various places, which of course leads people to be concerned about the potential danger posed by drugs mafia. But, you know, this is really fascinating. So, you know, we got too much weed in New York just because the regulation is slowing things down. And here we are busting all the illegal cocaine, and there's too much of it to deal with. We can't dispose of it quick enough. Have you ever even heard of such a problem? And this certainly sounds like a first world problem to me. What do you think about this?
I've got some ideas of what they could do with the cocaine. They can send some of the excess over to Zelensky and Hunter Biden, perhaps. bad joke, but yeah, this is, I've never heard something like this before. I don't know, you know, maybe the marijuana, I just had an idea. What if, it couples well with the idea of UBI, you know, universal basic income, as the economy declines and they ease us into this algorithm ghetto. I think it was Yuval Harari, the high priest of Davos, who said, what are we going to do with all these, useless eaters? Just, put them on drugs and video games. Soma, right? Soma, Aldo Huxley's in the Brave New World, Soma. And so, who knows, maybe they'll just start giving it out for free together with the UBI. So you don't got a job, go home. Don't speak against the regime. Take your free digital dollars and marijuana and the latest Call of Duty and Netflix and chill, be happy. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Maybe they could. I don't know. The farmers in New York, that's actually a very sad thing. I mean, they were promised that, XYZ was going to happen. They were going to be able to legally sell their product in these dispensaries. So the farmers, in anticipation, upped their supply. And it's not like there's, I know basic economics is all, surrounds the supply and demand thing, but you've got the demand, you've got the supply, and here we have like a third party who's like interfering, and it's the government, it's this regulation that they're sitting on, waiting to, jump through all these hoops that they got to go through, all the red tape and stuff. So that's ruining, marijuana, which has been legalized, right? And then we have this other problem where they're capturing all this illegal drugs, but now they don't have a safe way to store it. I mean, like, talk about a plot from a movie. I mean, what happens if like the what if the gangs, the drug gangs, like, look, bro, we know all the drugs are sitting in this building right here. They only got five cops outside. There's 20 of us. We got AK-47s. We can take them. I mean, this is just setting up a very dangerous situation here. I think they probably need to do something about all this cocaine sitting around there. As far as the marijuana goes, dude, they need to, maybe they can ship it out somewhere else. I don't know what the laws are about transporting marijuana across state lines, but maybe somebody close by, send it on down here to New Mexico. They'll buy it here in a heartbeat. I'll tell you what.
there you go. Or, you know, I had thought, was that in Belgium, that you know, maybe the cops or the government would sell it illegally. I don't doubt that. That's what, you know, that's what some governments have been doing for the longest time. We've got corrupt cops and authorities as well. That's not unheard of. And so, you know, well, hopefully that, well, you know, again, they could sell it and give the proceeds to support the war in Ukraine. No, just kidding. Bad joke. But yeah, I don't know what to do with it. I am for legalizing some drugs like marijuana, but the processed stuff like cocaine, heroin, I'm not so sure. I don't know. I don't have the answers. Maybe some people out there do. And we'll check back with you soon tomorrow. Ruckus, have a great evening, and we'll be right back after this break.
You should hear what Greg Maybury is talking about.
The systemic fraud, malfeasance, corruption, conflicts of interest, and general criminal misconduct within and across the broad financial and banking sectors. What we would normally sort of call white-collar crime. We only have to hark back to the global financial crisis and the corruption and fraud that led to that particular crisis. We can go back even further to that, to the Enron crisis back in the start of the Bush administration. But overall, it'd be difficult to overstate the breadth and the depth of corruption and conflicts of interest that prevail in the financial industry, in the banking sector. And in fact, by all accounts, in the last 2.5 years, 3 years, we've seen a massive transfer of wealth from the lower echelons of society up to the top echelons of society. This has all been under the cover, of course, of the pandemic and all of the attendant restrictions and lockdowns that have gone with that.
The No Fly Zone with Greg Maybury on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches, and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swimming in racism.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
Government is no longer working to protect our shared heritage, institutions, culture, and way of life. We're watching their deliberate destruction and dismantling, ready for replacement with something else.
What might that be?
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Joining me now is AJ Rice, president and CEO of Publius PR, editor-in-chief of the Publius National Post, and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. I've got myself a Kindle version of it. A great book, highly recommended. The website is publiuspr.com, and follow him on Twitter at publiuspr. Welcome back to TNT Radio, AJ.
Hey, great to be here, really.
I love what you're doing. I've started following Publius PR. I love your book, by the way, and you're doing good work. You're fighting the good fight. And since it's the first time I've had you on, could you please, you know, just tell us a bit about Publius and the work that you do?
Well, look, we are, you know, we're a media company, so we provide content mostly in, you know, the political space, cultural space, but although we do some memoirs, we've done some fiction over the years, some sports, a little bit of entertainment. But for the most part, it's, you know, a lot of the conservative sort of firmament, the conservative stars in the United States, we get a lot of them. We've worked with most of them. And if we haven't gotten them yet, we probably will in the future. We like to say, like the old adage with Rome, all roads lead to Publius. And it's kind of true. You know, 7 degrees, 6-7 degrees of Publius out there, like Kevin Bacon. But I started out sort of in politics in the Philadelphia region. Once upon a time, I was a English literature guy. And I sort of changed my trajectory in college in the late 90s, early 2000 because of the 9/11 attacks. And I was always political. I was always sort of libertarian, conservative, wise ass. But I kind of accelerated my own personal education because of the September 11th attacks in 2001. I think I was a junior in college at the time. So I started working for a congressman, studied Middle East studies a little bit in grad school. But coming from Philadelphia, you know, the number one education I got was from the streets and from the playground. And look, if you see any of my interviews, and you guys are going to hear me today, if you read the book, you know, I'm not writing like, you know, Henry James. I'm not writing, you know, the Queen with the Queen's English here. I'm writing with some fun, some sarcasm. We like to have fun. We like to hang jokes on people. So after I spent some time on Capitol Hill working for a Republican congressman, I got hired by Laura Ingraham, basically to be her assistant. And within about a year, I was her executive producer. So she gave me a blurb for the book. I think it's on the jacket, actually, on the back of the jacket, as have many others, some of which have been guests on TNT. So, you know, I worked with her. I worked with Monica Crowley. I worked with Michael Savage. I worked with Mancow, a lot of these, you know, top radio hosts in the U.S. I did a show for John Solomon. I helped launch the Blaze Radio Network. And then I just started doing, I kind of reverse engineered what I was doing, and I stopped sort of producing shows and started promoting clients to shows, which was kind of an easy thing for me because I knew everyone in radio already. So about a decade ago is when we really ramped up Publius PR. It kind of slowed down being a production company and became a public relations company. So, I mean, since then, we've had dozens of New York Times bestsellers, Amazon bestsellers, USA Today, Wall Street Journal. We've had a ton of them. You know, I guess the biggest names would be Donald Trump Jr., Laura Ingraham, Charles Krauthammer, Alan Dershowitz, Newt Gingrich, Steve Hilton. We've had a lot. I think, you know, and again, people that should be on the list that were kept from the list because of politics over there at the New York Times, like Peter Navarro and Naomi Wolf and others. So, you know, we're in the thick of it. I like to say I'm the, you know, the Nick Fury collecting an Avengers team here. And then I decided to do my own book. You know, it's kind of one of those things where you're like, nobody wants a coach that hasn't played the game. So I've learned quite a bit going through this process. You know, usually I torture the clients, you know, I torture the authors. So now I get to torture myself here over the last couple months. But look, it's been fun. Done a lot of hits. We appreciate everything TNT has done. And look, the book is, you know, you don't have to read it cover to cover. I'm a millennial. I'm an old millennial. I'm a geriatric millennial, but you know, I'm part of the short attention span theater generation. So, you know, you don't have to read it cover to cover. It's about 100 vignettes. They're fun. Some are horrific. Some are humorous. We touch on everything from Biden to Trump. We've got DeSantis in there. A lot of culture, and you know, we try to transform, you know, horror into humor, so to speak, which I guess is the definition of comedy.
Yeah, I noticed your book was written in a funny manner, and at first I thought, you know, there were so many chapters, it's going to be a long book, and then I saw that, as you just mentioned, they're vignettes, they're very brief. It's funny and to the point. And you mentioned Mancow. I grew up in Chicago, and so I grew up listening to Mancow. I think it was Q101. I can't remember, but he's moved on to other things. And we're going to jump to our news break. We'll be right back after this.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Rights groups in Iran say security forces have killed a dozen people in the last 24 hours in a crackdown on demonstrators in Kurdish-populated regions. Millions of Ukrainians are most likely to live with blackouts until the end of March as workers are rushing to complete repairs before the winter cold arrives. The Associated Press has fired a journalist for the incorrect claim that Russia fired a missile that struck Polish territory, killing two people.
Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host that you'd like to hear on TNT Radio? Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss? Then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
All right, back with AJ Rice, head of Publius PR. Follow him on Twitter at Publius PR. And, you know, something that's often on my mind is this censorship, deplatforming, you know, cancel culture. I've had the Department of Homeland Security ban me from PayPal. That happened in April. And in your book, you mention, quote, the insidious deep state from the Obama years morphs into a freedom terminating cyborg thanks to big tech. End quote. The deplatforming is getting unreal. You know, Kanye West had his bank, was it JP Morgan, closed his account. And today I saw a clip from Kanye saying that even his Apple Pay now, like they froze his money. He can't use Apple Pay. He says it can happen to any American out there. This morning I chatted with John White, head of the Rutherford Institute, who does great work. And he's also been talking about this. What's sort of your take on where we are when it comes to this big tech monster?
Well, I mean, Kanye went to a place where, you know, if you're in politics or entertainment or sports, it's sort of a no-go zone, right? Dave Chappelle talked about it on Saturday Night Live. You know, the two words you never put together and tweet or say is the and Jews, ever. So, I mean, you could say the and anything else. But look, I mean, it's amazing, you know, how quickly you can kind of get gobbled up if you cross into certain territories. I mean, I'm for everyone's ability to say whatever they want, but if you're talking about, you know, private entities or public businesses or, you know, people judging, you know, you on whether or not they want to do business with you, you know, there is a fine line there between cancel culture and, you know, commerce, right? So, you know, with Kanye, you know, with Kyrie Irving, who's a guard for the Brooklyn Nets in the NBA, you know, guys like Alex Jones, there are some topics that I guess in the world of cancel culture, you basically are saying, you know, fire in a crowded theater. I mean, it's just, and there, in some ways, there's no way out of it. Like, once you go down that path, that's it. You know, and obviously you can make slippery slope arguments. Is all speech created equal? Well, under the First Amendment, it's supposed to be. But the Supreme Court has weighed in on that a little bit. I'm not saying they're right. But, you know, the overall cancel culture movement is, you know, this sort of authoritarian dress rehearsal. They're trying to create a chilling effect to program you to not talk about certain things and not, you know, mention certain groups and not tell certain jokes. And it's kind of like they've set up a, and because our lives are so digitized now, it's easy to control us. I don't care whether it's PayPal or Patreon or LinkedIn or whatever it is. You know, you can get canceled very quickly by the digital brown shirts. You know, they don't have, you know, they're not waiting on a telegram to pull Huckleberry Finn off the shelf, you know. So that's the thing. I mean, you know, they move quickly. I would say that, you know, in the old days, they couldn't get you as quickly as they could get you now. But here's the thing. They have set up a situation in this country where we're all sort of forced, because we're so digitally connected, into like what I would call like a user agreement to be an American. Now, the user agreement to be an American is supposed to be the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But the way things are going, the user agreement is now being dictated by our digital overlords. I was kicked with it right around the time, and I, you know, I should send LinkedIn a case of champagne. But the week that my book came out, I was booted off of LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn has kind of become a news feed, kind of like Facebook, right? Yeah, you know, people put their resumes up, but it's become very interactive. And I have a team of people that promote on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook some of the stuff our clients do. So, you know, if Don Jr. does an interview or Naomi Wolf does an interview, goes on with, you know, Steve Bannon, or someone writes in a, you know, an op-ed in Bloomberg.com or the Wall Street Journal or whatever, our team shares it. And they don't say anything about it. They're just like, it's kind of like a way for us to brag that, you know, we're wonderful. Look at our wonderful client and the wonderful interview we got them. Well, so we put two interviews up by Gregory Wrightstone, who is a geologist and a skeptic when it comes to climate change. He doesn't really believe that it's, you know, anthropogenic. And then another one by Naomi Wolf about vaccines. Well, that was it, brother. Three strikes and you're out. Within like 3 days, they brought the hammer down and they booted me off of LinkedIn for sharing two interviews and a column. So, you know, and then to get back on, you got to kind of sign, I promise I will never wear a blue shirt on Wednesday, whatever the hell it is. You know, so that's where we're at. It's scary. It's, you know, a future that was predicted by Bradbury and Huxley and Orwell and many others. But we're there. We're there. Now, it is heartening to see some people of the left. You know, Dave Chappelle, I mean, you know, he's a Democrat. He's a black guy, Democrat from Washington, D.C. So he's not exactly, you know, Thomas Sowell or Clarence Thomas. right? But he gets it. He sees it. He makes his money off of his art is speech. His art is speech. Same thing with Bill Maher. You know, Bill Maher doesn't agree with Rice on much, but Bill Maher agrees with Rice on fighting, you know, the woke and dead. So, and there are others, you know, Glenn Greenwald. And look, it's nice that there are platforms emerging like Getter and Substack and Locals and Parler and others where you can go and, you know, not get totally shut down and thrown into, you know, digital Gitmo. You know, Elon Musk taking over Twitter, I think that's a good thing. You know, I don't know how conservative in his core Elon Musk is, but, you know, it's nice having a billionaire, you know, fighting for free speech for once. So, you know, look, there are some victories out there in the culture and in the tech wars, but this is far from over. It's far from over. And, you know, the Woking Dead, they're in the institutions. Big tech kind of protects them inside the institutions. So whether it's the public school system or Hollywood or academia, the media, you know, that's where they're at. That's where they're hiding. They've been there for 100 years. People ask me what wokeism is all the time. You know, at the core of it, it's cultural Marxism. That's what it is. It's what Antonio Gramsci 100 years ago wanted. I mean, he knew, and a lot of the Marxists here, you know, even before World War I, they knew, you know, most of the time, brother, when Marxism succeeds, when there's some kind of, you know, communist revolution or whatever, it's usually in a place that doesn't have a middle class. It's usually a peasant revolt. You know, it's the serfs overthrowing the Romanovs or, you know, Castro and the boys come down out of the jungle in Cuba, you know, Ho Chi Minh. I mean, you know, if you know world history, these aren't thriving middle-class places. These are dumps. These are dumps either being run by, you know, an autocratic regime or some royal family holding on by their fingernails. And you know, the left sees that. They see it, which is why it's always the two-pronged strategy for bringing us to heel and allowing wokeism to dominate. Is step one, destroy Western civilization, remove it. So anything Greco-Roman, anything Judeo-Christian has to go. You know, the Enlightenment, so on. It all has to go. And destroy the middle class. And if you can do those two things, you know, you can bring Orwell's worst nightmare to bear, you know. Imagine if our society was being ordered by the bartender, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Can you imagine? So, I mean, that's it. They want a bleak, joyless, funless, godless society. That's what they want. They even want to take God away from the conservative atheists. I mean, they do. Okay, so I mean, that's how crazy they are. It's totalitarianism. We've seen it before. And hopefully the American people will wake up soon, you know. Republican Party needs some smelling salts after the midterm elections. They got to snap out of it. They really do.
Yeah. I mean, AOC heading the, you know, as captain of the ship, that we're headed towards idiocracy as well, that film. And just to note on LinkedIn, you know, one thing I noticed that LinkedIn does differently is they sort of ghost delete posts. Like that's happened to me regarding my podcast, where they don't tell you, they'll just quietly delete it. And then they'll make you think you're crazy. Like, I'm like, I swear I posted it. It's not there. And then, you know, they kind of make you think you're crazy. And yeah, it's when it comes to cancel culture, you know, you mentioned Kanye, it's a, and the list just keeps getting longer. You talk about COVID, you know, your YouTube is striked, you know, you get a strike, elections, LGBT now stuff, if you criticize that and so forth. But, you know, you are, well, let's hold that thought for the break. We're going to have to take a quick break. And again, you can find AJ Rice on Twitter at PubliusPR, and the website is publiuspr.com. Check out his book, The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. We'll be right back on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
If you've been listening here on TNT over the past couple of months, we've been warning you about the threat of an early winter. In fact, it's raining a lot in the UK, and I've always noticed that heavy rains during the month of November usually mean December is going to be very, very cold. That in turn correlates with what we were talking about at the end of the summer, about how it looked to me like the big three, the Far East, the US, and Europe, were going to get very, very cold. Now, I got to give Joe Biden credit for one thing. He's made weather great again. Back in the heyday of weather in 2005, 2006, where prices were up real high because of hurricanes, well, people needed weather forecasts. Well, they need them now because prices are real, real high. And there is no excuse for this. There is no excuse for what has happened here. It is a phony climate war with insane energy policies. And guess what? Some of the stuff we were talking about, how cold it was going to get, that's where my value is. It looks like it's going to be happening over the next few weeks. This is meteorologist Joe Bastardi, TNT's climate and weather watchdog, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio, or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
We've returned on our final stretch with AJ Rice, President and CEO of Publius PR. He's got a great book, The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. Catch him on Twitter at Publius PR. And AJ, you're a very optimistic sort of person, I think, just, you know, sort of like go get him. And just on the note of censorship again, you know, when it comes to media, publishing, getting the word out, the politically incorrect truth out, as we were talking about, it's getting difficult. But nonetheless, there are still loopholes. There's ways to get around the censors, to get the truth out, as well as to be able to monetize getting the truth out. So I don't have to survive on just tortillas and frijoles down here in Mexico where I'm at. And, you know, we've got what you're doing, Publius, you know, TNT Radio, myself, many, many others in independent and alternative media. So the war is far from over. What's sort of your take on alternative media, independent media, and the road ahead? Because we're down, but we're definitely not out.
Well, look, I mean, some of the blessings of technology is such that, you know, a network like TNT can exist. You know, the thing about the media, it's funny. You know, the more digital we get, though, the easier, you know, we sort of are to control. You know, regular radio, still, the left still can't figure it out. You know, I mean, the FCC, you know, does oversee it. So there's certain words and stuff you can't say. But unless you're going to, you know, knock the tower over. I mean, look, for 30 years, they tried to figure out how to get Limbaugh off the air. And during that time period, all he did was spawn millions of clones. Millions. So, you know, you're seeing a little bit of a digital version of that now. You know, talent will usually rise to the top. I mean, there are certain people that you know, make the argument that, you know, once you have so many choices, you choose nothing. I mean, look, there's times when I go into a wine store and I'm like, my eyes are lit up. I don't know what to do. Like, what am I doing? Like, when I go in to get some wine or some liquor or some beer, you know what I mean? I'm an Irish Catholic guy from Philadelphia, right? So I love, you know, I get my drink on, especially for Thanksgiving coming up. And you go in there and you've got aisles and aisles. So it's just kind of like, I'm just sort of like, you know, you got so many choices, you choose nothing. So I, you know, you got to go on for, you got to have a mission when you go in there, right? You got to have a mission. It's like, okay, I'm always skeptical of the restaurant that makes too many dishes. Like, there's no way you can be that good at this many dishes, right? But look, the media world, you know, just like the old newspaper world, you know, success and failure will be dictated by whether or not you can build an audience. You know, at the end of the day, that fourth wall comes down, you know, you got to deal with it. You got to deal with whether or not, I mean, look, if you're just a nut and it's just a vanity project and you're just, you know, in the basement talking to yourself, putting it up on iTunes, look, you have the right to do that. You have the right for no one to buy it. But I would say that, you know, when you talk about people that are doing real deep dives into what's going on in society, some of them are journalists, some of them are commentators. It's amazing. You know, like, we represent Naomi Wolf. Now, I first met Naomi Wolf when I was Ingram's executive producer, and we used to bring Naomi Wolf on to fight with her. Okay? Naomi Wolf was a left-wing radical feminist, Al Gore's, you know, speechwriter. You know, she was the enemy. And now look what's happened. What's funny about it is her positions on things really haven't changed. It's like Bobby Kennedy Jr. It's that the Democrat Party has changed, right? So, like, the goalposts have been moved. It's like Reagan used to say, right? I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me. You know, Reagan was a Democrat. He was head of the Screen Actors Guild. You know, he's one of the most powerful Democrats in the country at one point. If you're the head of the Screen Actors Guild in the 30s and 40s into the 50s, I mean, you're a powerful Democrat, believe me. So, you know, so that's sort of the great thing about, you know, Substack and podcasting and things like that, is that certain people that would never be given a shot by the IP-controlled, you know, multinational corporations that own a lot of our entertainment, you know, guys like Tim Pool, like, you know, he has a massive podcast. Like, you know, and Tim, like, does his show from, like, a rural remote location. You know, guys like that they might never get a shot without some of this technology and the ability to promote yourself and earn a living. So, you know, I say bravo. We book a lot of people on a lot of shows, you know, and all different types. Some of them are like, you know, Big Macs. Some of them are, some of them are like filet mignons, but, you know, I always think more voices is better than less. But you know, when it comes to my alcohol, I want less choices. Okay. I get confused.
Right? Yeah.
But look, the other thing too is, you know, there are a lot of people that want to go back to the old world where, you know, it's just CNN and the three networks, you know, but that's over, right? Pandora's box has been opened. It's the Pandora's box of content. So look, you got to get out there, you know, try to mix it up, stay fresh. I mean, I'm in the content business and we have all different types. You know, I wouldn't reject a left winger if they come to me. You know, I mean, most of the time, if you Google me, you know, you're not coming. You know, I have a funny story. We got a phone call once from the ACLU. I thought my assistant, I thought it was somebody, you know, playing a prank on us. But lo and behold, it was. It was the ACLU. They wanted to go on a radio tour, conservative radio tour, because they, at least then, they had found a way to reach across the aisle, because when it came to government surveillance, by the way, I don't know where the hell they've been at lately, but this was back when, you know, only Ron Paul. Ron Paul was the only Republican worried about the Patriot Act. You know, him and his son, Senator Paul. So it's amazing. I tell people this all the time. You know, Trump was like a hybrid of like Ron Paul, Ross Perot, and Pat Buchanan, right? Thrown into a blender. And he moved the Republican Party miles, miles in certain directions on stupid overseas adventures, on trade with, you know, trade with everyone, but China in particular, immigration, and really, and it's in my book, political correctness. I mean, he makes these people apoplectic. He breaks them. Like they go, they get catatonic when you bring him up. Like he's the ultimate triggering device for the woke dead that, you know, are just sitting around like snowflakes in their safe spaces being triggered. It's a disgrace. Obviously in the book, we make fun of them. So I say, look, keep it up. You know, I'll work on volume two.
Yeah. And, you know, just to add, yeah, it's great that your authors go on different platforms. It seems like things have become a bit tribal. You've got big podcasts, small podcasts. You know, my podcast, Geopolitics and Empires, is tiny. But then you think, how tiny is it when the DHS is shutting off my PayPal and NATO is targeting me, shutting off my Patreon? And I did recently get the folks over at Ron Paul Institute describe my podcast as the real underground where the real intellectual revolution is taking place. So I was very happy about that. You mentioned Trump. Just we got a couple of minutes left, and just get your thoughts in the book. Again, you sounded very optimistic. You did describe the primaries. People were considering it was going to be a red wave. It was like a red splash. And, you know, there's Trump, there's DeSantis gunning for perhaps the presidency. You know, so what are your thoughts from here on out to 2024? Trump, DeSantis, both, or, you know, a second civil war, or I think you were alluding to somehow the return of Obama. Some have said Obama is the shadow president under Biden. So, you know, thoughts on the next 2 years?
Well, there's a lot there. As it relates to the red wave, I wrote in the Journal for American Greatness Monday that the red wave was really stopped by the woking dead. And what I mean by that is Gen Z and the younger millennials pretty much stopped. They showed up. I've got the numbers. The data is showing they showed up. And it looks like they showed up because they thought Uncle Joe was going to forgive their student loans. Obviously, that's not going to happen. It's not legal. But it worked. It worked. They want their, you know, lesbian poetry degree paid for by U.S. taxpayers. They're in for a rude awakening. It's not going to happen. But they showed up. People say, oh, they showed up because they care about democracy. They don't care about democracy. They're on Xbox and TikTok all day. They don't know freaking democracy from a hole in the wall. Oh, they showed up because of Roe versus Wade. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. Gen Z is not having sex. They can't communicate with each other. They're in no danger of knocking anyone up. They don't go to the club. They don't go to homecoming. They don't go to the prom. They do not have sex with each other. They're automatons. They're the woking dead. They care about their devices. They exist in a digital space where their avatars represent their true self. They don't know what gender they are. Believe me. Okay? They're not celibate by choice. They're just automatons. I mean, they're just basically, their priorities are totally different. They have no need for birth control. They're not going to have abortions because they don't have sex, which is scary in and of itself, guys. But that's another book, another story for another time. But it wasn't Roe versus Wade, and it wasn't, you know, a bunch of January 6th protesters, you know, or people that didn't think the election was rigged or did, or it had nothing to do with any of that. It was goodies. It was goodies. Meanwhile, there's tons of Catholics from Latin America coming in here with 15 kids that are, and look, you're in Mexico City. You know what I'm talking about. I'm Catholic. They're coming in here. They're having children. They're working their asses off, and they're slowly voting more and more Republican. You know, this idea, dopey Democrats, that they could use the African-American playbook on Latin Americans. See, it used to be all the Cubans in South Florida, you know, they didn't like Castro. So, you know, we'll give them the Cubans. Well, guess what? The more Marxism spreads in Latin America, the more taste of freedom Latin Americans, Central Americans get. They get here. They're not looking for goodies. The lily white kids in suburbia that don't have sex.
We're out of time. I agree with you. Thank you so much. The Walking Dead. Check out AJ Rice's book on Twitter at PubliusPR.